when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Duty, honor, country. As five-star General Douglas MacArthur used to say, Douglas MacArthur is one of my very few heroes I have left in life. I told Dr. Hill the last time I talked to him that I have no more heroes in life. I'm my own hero. I'm my own man. I will not be associated with another organization. I've been invited to join the Klan. I really admire them, but I will not. I cannot belong to another organization. I've been disappointed so bad. But secondly, because I do not want to be under anybody's thumb. I do not want to have to obey their so-called rules, et cetera, their rules of engagement. And so duty, honor, country, God. If you don't have honor, you don't have anything. If you don't have honor as a man, you're nothing but a damn pig, a beast of the field. If you have no honor, you have to get your honor back, people. And that's all I'll say about that. To paraphrase Forrest Gump. People, there's something has come to my attention. I forgot who sent me. I'll tell you what. Frank Hoat from up there, one of those hardcore neo-Nazi Confederates who just happens to live north of the Mason-Dixon line. He sent me this thing. Here's the title of it. FBI and TBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, has announced Venezuelan gangs human trafficking operations surged in Tennessee's four major cities, Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, and Chattanooga. And I'm going to tell you something that makes my blood boil as much as anything. These damn foreign apes, beasts of the field, non-whites, being brought into this country by this communist Jew cabal government we have in Sodom on the Potomac, a.k.a. Washington, D.C. They're being brought in here and turned loose on good white people. Just like little Lizzie. She's at prime age, the people they're kidnapping and putting them into sex slavery and turning them into drug addicts. By God, that sets me on fire. I'm going to tell you what, I have the solution, Rand, to that. The solution for that is to tell the FBI and the Justice Department and all these other sons of bitches, you can kiss our ass. You're not going to bring this scum into our country. I don't care if it faggot Joe Biden is a president or whoever it is. You're not bringing this scum into my town. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a constitutional sheriff. If his ass ain't constitutional, if his head ain't all right, we're going to get rid of him. And we're going to have a constitutional sheriff. And we're going to have a constitutional posse that's armed to the teeth. And we're going to go around here, Rand, and we're going to teach these little spicks from Venezuela. We're going to show them what, by God, real violence is. We're going to teach them a hard lesson they ain't never going to forget. And we're going to start by just shooting them down in the streets. We're going to shoot first and ask questions later. We're not going to let them kidnap our daughters, our granddaughters, our mothers, our wives. We're not going to let them kidnap the little teenagers of the world like little Lizzie. We're not going to put up with that shit. And you know something else? We're not going to allow you to move in vacant apartments and move into houses and not pay the rent and just take over and completely make a fourth world nation out of the country. And that's happening right here in my very neighborhood. It really is. Memphis, this part of Memphis and Shelby County, it's been totally colonized by these foreigners. None of them can speak English. You see signs everywhere. We teach you to speak English free. Well, why the hell do they want to speak English? They don't need to speak English. Our people, our damn schools here haven't learned how to speak Spic. I'll never speak Spic. I never will. Never, no way in hell. But that's what it's going to take, people, until we get people like these little effeminates up here, Ayn Rand and places like that, to realize and to quit saying, oh, I notice up there, Jared Taylor saying, oh, people around, and I hear this crap even from some of our other co-hosts sometimes, oh, people are waking up. They're waking up in droves. They're waking up in Germany and France. And I say, we're waking up. Well, so what? So what if they're waking up? I'm awake. Fran's awake. Monica's awake. They're all awake. So what are we going to do about it? Just go back to sleep? Oh, we're awake now. We can go back to sleep. You're not doing shit about it. There's only one way to get us out of this crap. We, the people of the United States, have to tell the federal government, which conquered us with bayonet at throat, that forced us back into the Union at bayonet. We've got to tell them to go to hell. We're going to take care of our own state. If we have to, we'll take care of their sorry ass. Rand.
Yes, it's a mess, Eddie, and it comes at us from all angles. You know, we're up against a lot, and we talked about this before, about it seems like it's just a few of us, but we have to kind of hold the line the best that we can, and we have to continue to speak and say the things that we feel and the things that we see, the solutions that we look like that it's going to be the necessary step to take, and we're going to have to move forward on it, because this is just the beginning. I mean, you can live out in rural Alabama like I do if you want to, and just kind of turn your head from these kind of things, which sadly to say, most do, but sooner or later it's going to come home. It's going to come home real close. I mean, actually here in they dumping Haitians off in Sylacauga, Alabama.
Yes.
That's not far from where I'm sitting at right now as we speak. I could probably.
You're not gonna be able to get away, Rand. You're not gonna be able to get. You know, they're putting because there's billions of them. You know, in India, India has more people than China. They're going to be over the earth like ants. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You can't continue on, brother. But this really got me pissed off.
No, we just don't really know how many of these kind of individuals are out there. We don't have any idea how many's out there. You know, that they dropping these Haitians off, and you know, they giving them housing, and you know, they trying to you know, ease them into our society, so to speak. But you know, these people. You know, I was told, and this is just hearsay, but somebody told me recently, like when the slave trade was going on and they had the ships loaded with the slaves, that the worst of the bunch, they dropped off in Haiti. And that's how Haiti got so many of the real lawless ones. You know, now that, like I said, that's just strictly hearsay, but it makes sense to me. I mean, it does make sense that that's...
Well, Rand, it does make sense to you. You may know this, but did you know that those feral blacks in Haiti, did you know they slaughtered... Did you know every single white person in that country, in that island, were murdered? Pregnant women were thrown in ditches with babies, suckling babies. They killed everyone there. Every white person was killed. And here we go, 200 years later, all these white bastards here, these cucks, are wringing their hands and gnashing their teeth. What are we going to do about the Haitians? I mean, as long as I've been alive, people, these white sons of bitches have been wringing their hands and crying over the Haitians. They killed your great-great-grandmother, you dumb son of a bitch. Go ahead, Rand.
And how much American citizens' tax money has been sent to Haiti over the years? I mean... just Clinton himself sent millions, if not trillions. I forget the number, but it's just been money after money sent there to try to help and develop their country and all. And, you know, it never worked. So now I guess they decided they can't get them straight over there. They're just going to bring some of them over here, you know. But all this is by design. We know
white genocide.
Yeah. And behind it all. And behind it all is the Jew. When you get down to the nut cutting of it and who's really behind it all, it is the Jew. But yet on the other hand, you know, the Israelis over there, those imposters that are in charge over there, they don't allow no Haitians to come into their country.
No. Hell no.
Your britches on that, but they all for, sending them over here so they can, destroy our society because they want to destroy Christianity. That's their main goal. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. They Christ haters. They're anti-Christ. I hear the music, but they're anti-Christ. They're high, and that's what's behind it all is they want all white Christians dead.
That's the name of the game. We hit that. We come back to the break, Rand.
Yeah.
Right back here.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood and River Radio family, this has been probably the most emotional show we've had. For me, anyway, it's been soul-numbing. I tell you, it really has been. It's just cauterized my soul almost. But, hey, like Rand said in the beginning, it's Jesus Christ plus nothing. I'm kind of reiterating what he said in my own words. But listen, getting back to what we just talked about, these Venezuelan gangs. Listen, in India, I talked to Sister Braveheart today, Monica. She sent me a little clip. We won't have time to play it. About, listen, these East Indians that Brother Paul Fromm alluded to last week on a trip, about a 13-hour trip. Canada's a big country. I think it's bigger than the United States. Like an 11, 12, 13-hour trip, he said every single one of these little, we have Dunkin' Donuts, every single one of them were manned by these East Indians, these Sikhs. They could hardly speak French or Canadian. You know, in English, they speak English and some French in Canada. But here, listen, they have the East Indians in Canada, the Sikhs wearing their heads and all of this kind of, I guess they might get the damn sword by their side, but the East Indians, Monica told me about it. She sent me the clip. They are in the streets in Canada demanding that the white Canadians leave and go back to Europe. They're saying, go back to Europe. This isn't, you're not Canadians. We're Canadians. These Sikhs, whatever the hell they are, these Indians in the country for 90 days, 60 days, 30 days, a year, 5 years, are saying they are the ones that are in Canada. Well, hell, you know what? even if the Canadians wanted to go back, Rand, they couldn't go because if they want to go back to Europe or England, it's full of blacks from Africa. It's full of these non-whites screaming for the Canadians' blood, screaming for the Europeans' blood. Anybody's white, that's what they're screaming for. And during the break, we talked about the clergy, the cult of clergy. Paul Fromm has gone over this several times. Matter of fact, he got printed this booklet. I just so happens I have 10 of them. This guy, I don't remember his name. It's in this book somewhere right here, right in this book. I won't open it up. But his dad was a Jew. His mother was a Jap. And so I guess he hated himself because he wasn't white. But he put out and designed this blueprint called we call it the Cult of Clergy, about how to exterminate white people worldwide. Do processes of things like castration, neutering white women, and then bringing in so many non-whites into white nations that it would dilute the population. He described in detail how they would put blacks in the high positions in athletics because they have a natural propensity toward athletics, especially where the speed is involved, like football and basketball. And everything he put in this plan, Rand, in this booklet I have, it's just like it come up about just exactly like the blueprint put out there. And he got a lot of money backing from the people like the Bilderbergers, but the Rothschilds, the big bankers, the big Jew bankers. And that's what you see in England, in Europe, in Canada, United States, you see this worldwide ongoing program of global white genocide. And if you notice, I say that all the time. It's on our website, site. Blood River Radio's only, our one and only, our flagship issue is defending against global white genocide as best we can. And you're seeing it unfolded right in your very eyes. These Venezuelan gangs, we just mentioned. These East Indian Silks, we just mentioned. The out-of-control southern border, the out-of-control border in Canada, where they're bringing in thousands and thousands of Chinese and Haitians, and primarily East Indians, Paul Fromm says. That's what you're seeing. And people, ain't no stinking Jew Trump going to help you. Ain't no prime minister going to help you. Ain't no governor going to help you. There's only one person that's going to help you, and that's Jesus Christ Almighty. Turn your back away from sin and ask Jesus Christ to help you. And also picking up the sword of righteousness defense, just like King David did when he was ordered by God to go in and wipe out these Philistines. It's us, people. It's we, the men of the United States of America. If we don't have the balls to pick up our guns and pick up our knives and put an end to this crap, we deserve it. What? How about that, Rand?
Well, you know, you mentioned the genocide, Eddie. You know, I don't know what's worse, the genocide itself or the acceptance of it, you know.
It's a great statement.
It doesn't matter whether it's in Gaza and the extermination of the Palestinian people by the imposters, that calls itself Israel, they're Israelis, they're Zionists, they're Antichrist, which we've already mentioned, and we mentioned weekly, or it is mentioned weekly on this show, or whether it's by overrunning your country with non-whites, promoting them to breed your women, to take your women, Nixon, is a given, seems like, by most these days, not by all, but by many. And it's affected so many families. You can't hardly find a family that, excuse me, hadn't been affected by Nixon and having a half white or half black or whatever child come into your family. And then, then it turns into the cry on my shoulder type. Well, he's just a baby. He's just a little girl. He couldn't help it. He can't help what his mom and daddy did. And And, you know, all that's true. But at the same time, it's turned into not just something that happens every now and then. It's been engraved into our society as a way that we should go about our business. And it's just not right. It makes me sick. I hate to see it. And there's Negroes, there's Blacks that feel the same way that you and I do about that. They don't want to see their people mixing either. And I commend them for it. You know, I applaud them for it. Because the Bible talks about, even in Genesis right off the bat in chapter 1, kind after kind, and it repeats it several times for emphasis, kind after kind, kind after kind. I've seen it several times, but I've run across it again recently, clip with, and I probably mentioned this on this program before, but I know it's been a while, this little clip of Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, being interviewed. And, he's sitting on there, he's talking about, all you got to do is look around. You know, red birds don't mix with blue birds, and so on and so on. I mean, and this has probably been said on here before, but you could just, as far as the mixing thing, you could just take away the Bible, just set it aside, and just look at what's natural, and know that that ain't the way that it's supposed to be. I mean, it doesn't. That's not hard for me to figure out, and I'm certainly not the smartest cookie in the bag for sure, but that's not hard to figure, we can't be proud to be who we are and say who we are, but you can still have all kind of, Black entertainment, Black month, Black this, Black that, on and on and on. But you let us have something about white people, we're racist, and if you say something about a Jew, you're anti-Semitic and all that. So anti-Semitic, and it's just I don't know. It just seems like we're up against, and sometimes it gets to be a grind. Sometimes I wonder, why in the hell why do I worry about it? Why don't I just live out my life? Enjoy whatever I want to, and just don't worry about it. But, I look at my grandchildren, by the way, my youngest daughter's got two little girls and got a third little girl on the way. And I look at them and I just worry about them and what they're coming up in. And I'm also worried about my daughter and my son-in-law about what they're up against, trying to raise these children and make them see as they grow up how things were designed to be by our Father, and keep them on track. They got a hard job. I mean, my goodness, they got a hard job. But I'll ramble on, but it's just...
You said it right. You said it alone.
Sometimes it does seem to get overwhelming, but we persevere, as they say, and carry on, and I am, as long as the good Lord gives me breath in me to speak, I'm gonna tell things the best of my ability as I see them. I may not be always right, excuse me, but and if you don't want my opinion, don't ask me about it. If it's going to offend you, don't ask me about it. What I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you something to intentionally hurt your feelings or to make you feel bad, but I am going to tell you the truth about it.
Rand, you didn't say it out of vindictiveness. You didn't say it out of hatred, just like I didn't. We said tonight what pained my soul, but it had to be said as honorable men. Listen, Rand, I want you to hang on, brother. We're going to bring in Warren Balog. He's coming on, okay. And he's going to be on for the next half, hour and a half. Be right back, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Life takes a toll on our bodies. No way around it. Whether it's sitting hours on end at your computer or working a physical job, over time your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain, Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. The difference? Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good. And it's 100% drug-free. If the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as so many others have. Turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. When you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. So visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95. While we can't stop aging, not yet, we can stop pain. Turn back the clock with Relief Factor.
Well, you put a massive fuel shortage facility on top of a drinking water supply. What could possibly go wrong? Here's Rich Thomason with a story on what went wrong.
The Pentagon's Inspector General says Navy officials failed to sufficiently grasp the risk of placing the storage tanks atop the water well at Pearl Harbor. More than 6,000 people were poisoned by a jet fuel leak in 2021. The IG says it happened even though the Navy had engineering drawings and environmental studies describing the risks. The Navy says corrective actions are being taken. Rich Thomason reporting.
Just a heart-wrenching story out of Los Angeles. A newborn child is dead after being dropped from the fourth floor window of a building in Skid Row. LA police say they've now located a woman they believe who is the mother of that infant. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, a California nut becoming very popular.
Farmers have been devoting more land to pistachios, which are seen as hardier and more drought tolerant in a state prone to dramatic swings in precipitation. The nut has surged over the past decade to become California's sixth biggest agricultural commodity in value, generating nearly $3 billion last year. Industry experts say pistachio orchards can withstand drought better than some other crops and take less water per acre than the state's biggest nut crop, almonds. Much of the crop is headed to China. John Scott reporting.
When Massachusetts voters decided to ditch the state's high school graduation exams, they joined a growing trend with steadily chipping away at the use of high-stakes tests for the past two decades. The vote leaves just seven states left in America now who still have mandated graduation exams. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Thank you so much for keeping us on the air with your donations. I'd like to get off right off the bat, in case Scott, a.k.a. Kilroy, is listening. I told Warren what you said, that you met him in Greenville. And I told him everything you said. So rest assured, I did what you want to, brother. You know what, people? We've got somebody who I'm really excited about having on. His name is Warren Balog. And like Kilroy, I met him in Greenville, South Carolina. I believe I'm getting so old, I can't remember. I think it was last June. Anyway, at the TPC conference up there. And I always call it the TPC Family Reunion is what I call it, no matter what it is. But anyway, welcome on board to Blood River Radio, Warren.
Hey, well, it's great to be on, and I'm glad we finally could make it work. I know we were playing around with some dates there. It seemed like for a couple of months we were going back and forth when it would work for me or for you. But yeah, I'm happy to be on. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, sir, and please forgive me because I meant to tell you I feel so bad about the sickness that you and your family have been through. I went through that. I was the hardest hit, and I thought I was the most bulletproof because I eat like you'd feed a $5 million stud race horse. I train one marathon, goes to another, kind of a health freak, and I hadn't been sick in years. And all of a sudden, my wife came back from this Alaskan cruise, and they brought some kind of a weird virus. And I'm telling you what, there for a couple of, I was praying, dear Lord, don't let me miss out on the New York Marathon. And then if there for a couple of days, I was praying, dear Lord, don't let me die. That's the God's truth. I mean, I was having a hard time breathing, and I finally got over it. I mean, it was a bitch getting over that thing. But anyway, that's I'm so sorry your family's going through that. Lord knows I can identify with that.
Oh, but, it's nothing too bad. It's mainly just a bad head cold, but it's November. You know, November's the month everybody gets sick, it seems like. That's always the mind. I have so many memories when I was a kid of missing school in November and lying around with a fever or anything. This was just a lot of like a head cold, but it definitely screwed up my week, because when you got to do podcasting and shows, you know, people don't want to see you on camera like blowing your nose every 5 seconds. but with that said, yeah, why don't we talk about the new Trump administration? I just wrapped up an episode of Modern Politics that'll be out probably tomorrow, if all goes well here with the editing. My wife Emily is editing it right now, and we were discussing Trump's cabinet appointments, Eddie, that he has put in place. And you know, some people are surprised. I don't think anyone who has studied Donald Trump's life and career should really be surprised or is surprised about it. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me very much of the George W. Bush second term, 2004, because if you recall, that's the last time that the Republican Party won the popular vote, 2004. And people have said that, well, Trump's cabinet appointees are way less Jewish than Biden. That Biden had all these Jews. I mean, I called Biden's administration a Jewish junta. You had Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas and, you know, Anthony Blinken. And when he first came in, Ron Klain was his chief of staff. It's the most Jewish cabinet, I think, in our entire history. And with Trump, some people who are defending him are saying, well, look, these aren't Jews. It's mostly, Mike Huckabee is the first non-Jew, I think, in decades that has been the ambassador to Israel. And, you know, that reminds me, Eddie, of the Bush administration. If you remember, people back then, and I know you've been around a long time, people who would push back on the idea that the neoconservative movement was a Jewish movement would always use the excuse that Bush isn't Jewish, Cheney wasn't Jewish, Condoleezza Rice wasn't Jewish. Colin Powell wasn't Jewish. Donald Rumsfeld wasn't Jewish. John Bolton wasn't Jewish. And what you had in Bush's term was an extremely Jewish war, the war in Iraq, and all the, you know, the Project for a New American Century, everything that the neoconservatives were pushing, they had a lot of goy frontmen doing it. And right behind them stood the neoconservative Jews like Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas yes. Faith, Elliot Abrams, Richard Pearl, and you know, like I say, Wolfowitz was the deputy secretary of defense. He was really the one driving the policy. But most of the top Jewish neocons were either in second-in-command roles or advisory roles. And so my comparison is the Biden administration was much closer to the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration, all Jews in the cabinet, Madeleine Albright, William Cohen, Secretary of Defense, and they were very focused on a domestic war against white people. We had under Clinton, for instance, you know, Janet Reno, Justice Department, and the you know, Waco and Ruby Ridge, and that sort of, you know, the big focus was white militias under Clinton, and exactly. also the war in Serbia. So the Clinton administration was fighting a war against white people, and they had all Jews doing it the same way the Biden administration came in 2021. Remember, that's before the Ukraine war, and that's before October 7th. So Biden came in with this Jewish junta, and I call him King Kong Lloyd Austin, because he looks, if you've ever seen the old King Kong movie with from 1933, Lloyd Austin, our defense secretary, looks a lot like the old black and white King Kong. They were there to fight a war against white people with all the woke stuff and everything. Then what happened? Ukraine happened, Putin, and October 7th, and now Zog's whole priority has shifted from a war, a domestic war against whites, to a foreign war for Israel against Iran and Iran's allies. And that's why you have all these goy frontmen, the same way we had in the Bush administration, preparing to wage a neocon war against Iran, either by proxy, you know, indirectly or directly. So that's my view on it.
You know, I'll tell you what, my friend, I wish I had a memory half as real as yours. I'm going to make this comment. We're up against, well, we still got a couple minutes before the first break. And then I'm going to, after I say these comments, we'll turn it over to Rand. I'm so glad you're here. You are one sharp guy, buddy. You've got a lot of guys that, listening to you tonight that know you're coming on. You mentioned something about the war on domestic war against white people. Well, a long time ago, we used to get this guy named Senator. He was a state senator for Nebraska, Senator John DeCamp. When I was with the TPC, we brought got him on a few times. I used to be able to call him. Of course, he's dead now. He choked on a chicken bone. So to speak, you know how that happens when you go against the big Jews. Well, he was buddies with John DeCamp. He went to college, law school on an ROTC scholarship. At the end of that, this education, he honored his commitment to the ROTC, went to in the Army, went into Vietnam, met this William Colby, director of the CIA at the time. He later became director of the CIA. They became really good friends. John DeCamp did a lot of weird, dirty work for him during Vietnam. They came back home. And that's during this time I'm telling you about was when the militia movement was getting strong. And you probably remember when they blew up the Murrow Federal Building in Oklahoma City.
Right.
Well, they blamed that, if you remember, on the militia. The white militia, gun-toting militia guys. Bill Colby told John DeCamp that the deep state, they were really afraid of the militia movement. It was getting big. It was getting out of control. They greatly feared it. And they set that bomb off and destroyed it. The deep state was behind it. And here's what make them so crooked, so evil. According to John DeCamp, who wrote the book The Franklin Cover-Up, if you ever get a chance to read that, it is peel a hair off your butt. The Franklin Cover-Up, it's maybe out of print now, but it's God Almighty. You can't sleep after you read it. But anyway, he said the reason they picked the reason they picked the federal building in Oklahoma City, they had it narrowed down to two buildings they wanted to blow up, and they picked, this is how evil the sons of bitches are, they picked Oklahoma City because it had a nursery in it, and they blew up babies, they blew up children. They wanted to get the maximum effect to blame it on the militia, and if I remember right, best friend Bill Kobe, because he died, he choked on a chicken bone, he drowned off of his yacht while he was cooking supper. Figure that. But he said that that was pretty much the death of the militia movement because it turned the militia, the people, we the people, against the militia. So I wanted to comment on that. But before we come back from the break, we'll get old Rand, ask you a few questions. This is going great. That's really, I got two great guys on tonight. Really, really excited to have you on tonight, Warren. Be right back, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to go directly back to our guest. He is on a roll. And then the Alabama Lone Wolf, he's got some comments to make about what the Warren made. And he also has some questions. So we're going to rock and roll. Go ahead, our honored guest, Warren. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I pretty much shot my wad there, that first segment. We can go to the to your other guests there talk about, you know, questions or whatever.
Yeah, well, Rand, okay. he's my co-host. He would be thick and thin. I'm telling you, he's pulled my butt out of the fire many times. Rand is another Charlottesville veteran, as was I. We were out there. We went through the Battle of Charlottesville, brother. I'm telling you, that was we talked about that a good bit. But anyway,
oh, Rand, great.
Yes, sir, we were there. We fought the bloody communist, man. Right, my right shoulder was touching Michael Tubbs's left shoulder.
He was second in command. You guys marched in with the League of the South. Somehow,
yes,
I
sir.
That's what you were.
I'll tell you what. I'll repeat.
You read in Jason Kessler's book about Charlottesville, which is an excellent book. I actually picked it up at the Greenville conference. And anybody who was there, I recommend his book. I did a review of it on my show.
Oh,
but
wow.
He talks about when he was there, he was trying to get in. to the park. I was already in the park with my dad and some of my friends.
Congratulations.
I was in Identity Europa at the time, so I was wearing the white polo, and I had my little Identity Europa pin, and we were all in the park, and everybody was, like, under siege, and Jason Kessler writes about when the League of the South marched in. I guess it was the Nationalist
We kicked ass.
Yeah. He said that everybody, like, all the Antifa, just there was, like, a collective gasp when they saw those guys marching in. And there's that famous picture of the column with all the TWP and the League of the South and all those flags flying. That was such a – I didn't see it because I was so focused on what was happening in the park. But I saw later. I mean, that was like – the only thing I can compare it to is like the Twin Towers or the – not the Twin Towers, the – what's it called? The second Lord of the Rings book. When the good guys are besieged by the orcs, and then Gandalf come, Michael Tubbs was like Gandalf coming with the cavalry, you know, charge into the orcs from behind.
I mean, he kicked ass. You know what? To repeat, one of my former co-hosts, he got married, got a job, got all these other priorities, and left us. But he said, we march in over those son of a bitches going into the park, and we march right back over those son of a bitches coming out of the park. And that is true. We kicked some ass, didn't we, Rand? Go ahead, Rand. Chim in here. You've been hanging on, brother.
Yeah, we sure do. That was a great day. That gave me chill bumps listening to Mr. Balog illustrate what happened there that day. That was good. I was very proud to be there and participate in that. And I tell you, when the head of that spear, that column, as he mentioned, got down to all those undesirables, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all the above, they split like Moses parted the sea, man. We went through them. We got in that park. We held our ground. We held our position up until the time that the authorities called for unlawful assembly and more or less shoved us back out into the street, unorganized that time for us to fight our way back to the parking garage, like where I was parked and others were and wherever people were parked at. But anyway, first of all, I introduced myself to Mr. Balog off the air while ago coming on. And I want to say that I'm really glad that Eddie encouraged me to hang around and be on here for just a little bit with y'all. And I really enjoyed those opening comments. Mr. Balog, you hit it on the head. You brought back a lot of things that I had forgotten. I hadn't thought about in a long time. You know, you said it a while ago. You said Trump, you never know about Trump. And he has sent some mixed signals, and I just wanted to ask you about a couple of the recent nominees. I mean, you never know about Trump. I mean, he played Dixie, from what I understand, in Manhattan other night before the election. I think he played the trilogy version of Elvis's, but he only played the Dixie part. And I understand he's played it at a few of his rallies that he played Dixie. So of course I'm going to like that. And I just want to say, and everybody that listened to this program heard me, I don't think Trump's the savior, as I've, you know, told a lot of my friends and voiced on social media before the election. At the end of the day, we're still going to end up with a Zionist. Either way we go, we're going to have a Zionist. But we was talking about some of the appointees and all, and recently he appointed this Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence. And, of course, the Brits over there, the Telegraph, they've already come out with smear campaigns against her, calling him, pro-Russian, pro-Putin, and like I said before, when you say pro-Russian and pro-Putin, to me, you're saying pro-peace, because I do, in my heart, think that Vladimir Putin really wants peace. I think he's looking after the interests of his country, his people, his nation, and he wants them to survive. And in the end, he'll do whatever it takes to protect them. And we all know the story, if you hadn't had your head stuck in the sand and haven't drank the Kool-Aid of all the propaganda, that, you know, he didn't ask for this situation in Ukraine. But, you know, as it developed, you had the Ukrainians actually bombing their own people in those provinces. And he came in, you know, these people voted to be Russian. They speak fluent Russian. They want to be Russians. And he come in there to more or less say, okay, we're going to draw the line here. And he's told them since 2014, we're not going to allow NATO to set up bases here, missile bases or whatever, right on our border. And neither would the United States let the Russians do it on the Mexican or the Canadian border. But getting back to what I was saying about Tulsi Gabbard, you know, she's not anti-Russian like the warmongers in Britain are. And that's what's wrong. They don't want to hear somebody get nominated that's not a full-fledged warmonger like Lindsey Graham or the Sean Hannity types and on and on and on with those type of people. She has spoke out against the United States involvement in the Ukraine and also back in Syria. You know, she was, I'm not going to say she was pro-Syrian, but she didn't like what the United States and what they're still doing in Syria. So I think that is a good thing as far as what I can see her getting that nomination. Now, whether she'll be the best intelligence director or not, I have no idea. And also this other fella, when I get finished, Mr. Balog, you can comment, this Matt Gaetz from Florida, where the ADL is already on him like, you know, a dog on a biscuit. I mean, you know, because of his comments against the anti-Semitic bills that have been passed already, as I understand, by the House and just waiting to be voted on the Senate floor. So, you know, their head's spinning over this nomination. And so what would you say about, as we said in the opening of the first hour, sometimes Trump sends mixed signals. And, you know, all we can do is hope for the best and hope he does the right thing. But he's already bragged about being the most pro-Israeli president ever. He brags about giving the Israeli the Golan Heights, which, like I'm repeating myself, people that are listening, you know, how can he give that away? That's not his to give away. I mean,
yeah, that's wrap it up, man. We're about to run out of time. But if you want Warren to respond, we only got a couple minutes. Yeah. Go ahead, Warren. I'll cut you off.
I'll try to respond real quick. I think that Tulsi, I mean, I used to be a big admirer of Tulsi Gabbard, especially when she basically killed Kamala Harris's primary campaign 4 years ago. I admired what she said about forever wars and that kind of thing. In the last year, she has really switched in much more bellicose, especially when it comes to Iran. As far as the position on Russia, I do sense the Trump administration wants to wrap up things in Ukraine, but I get the sense that they want to do it just so that they can pivot towards China and so that they can really focus on Iran rather than any kind of general idea to stay out of foreign wars or be non-interventionist in like a Buchanan-ite sense. As far as the, you know, playing Dixie and things like that, you know, it's the South always gets flattery from the ruling elites whenever they need soldiers to fight. And this has been true for 100 years, more than 100 years. You know, I recently rewatched, because I met Gene Andrews and we took this tour of the Forest Boyhood Home, and I bought a bunch of books when I was there. And I was really, you know, I'm not a Southerner by birth. I'm from Eastern PA is where my family goes back. But I got deep into this reading about this. And I thought about how they trotted out Gone with the Wind when they needed the South to go fight in Europe. And even the Klansman film was in
guys,
the middle of World War.
Guys, we're running
completely
out of time. We got to go. Hey, hang over for about 5 minutes, this third segment. If y'all want to, we'll continue this, and then we'll bring Don Wasson on. Be right back, folks.